had to allow God to do what God wanted to do today. Amen. And so, I think they're having trouble. You seeing it, but nobody else is seeing it, right?
Now you're seeing it here.
We'll try it again. Everybody can see that? I'm going to let you look at that for a while. No, it might not make a lot of sense to you, but after I'm done, it'll make all the sense in the world to you. I'll let you look at it for a while. I got to read chapter 48 of Genesis. Genesis 48. I'm very big on, if it don't make the connection, I can talk about it later. It has to make a connection. And so what you're seeing up on the screen is 5786/2026. Everybody knows that, right? 2026. And you see some Hebrew letters there. Starting from right to left, we have the Yud, He, Vav, He. Then we have the Tav, Shin, Pe, Vav. The only mystery there is the last four I just said. We're going to talk about that. Now the gematria is below them. We have 10,565, which is the number of Yehovah for 2026. 26 is the number. If we add 10, 5, 5, and 6 up, comes to what?
26.
So we have also the gematria of the other letters. If we add 400 plus 300 plus 80 plus 6, you have 786. We see that. You say, well, what about the five? Well, the five, it's a gimme. We know that we're in that 5,000 year on the Hebrew calendar. So I just want you to look at this and study this, because this has everything, I'm going to say it clearly, everything to do with Genesis 48. And it has definitely everything to do with the last two songs that were sung. Matter of fact, the second to last song that was sung, what was the title of it? He Made a Way. That's going to be the theme song for when we have our first service. Amen. In Goshen Land.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to say it again so you hear me. That's going to be our theme song.
Amen.
For when we have our first service in Goshen Land. Some of you are saying, what's Goshen Land? Well, you'll soon find out. I don't have time to do it this morning. But I'm going to take you through a journey in the scripture that gets us, now that we had the song come forth prophetically in word, now I got to show you where its foundation is. I got to show you where, you know, we got the house built, but where are we going to set it? We got to set it on a foundation that won't go away, will never fade away. He said, everything will pass away, but my word will stand.
Right.
So if I can show you in the word today, then I've done my job. And I appreciate them for being sensitive to the set apart spirit to go this direction. My question was to God, Lord, this is a lot of stuff. This seems like it's a different study. Seems like it's going on a side trail somewhere. And he said, oh, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. I'm about to show you something that's going to show you how I'm going to set the house on the foundation.
Amen.
Is that okay? Is it okay that God sets the house on the foundation? Is it okay that he fixes some issues that we might have in our life?
Hallelujah.
Some unbelief, some doubt?
Yes.
Is it okay? Because until he fixes it, you can build all the house you want, it won't stand.
Yes.
He said, unless I build a house, you labor in vain that built it.
Right.
I want him to build the house.
Amen.
And so we're going to see that as you take some time to study this chart. I wasn't going to make a chart, because in my mind, I see it. I already see it. So 5 minutes for time to leave, I had to make this chart. And I got to set my computer. On my computer, I can set my typing to a Hebrew keypad.
Yeah.
So it types Hebrew for me. But I don't know what it means, right? So I'm trying to find you might go through 25 of them for you. So then I found a little screen pop up and just you display the screen. I said, praise the Most High to help me. And so I want you to look at this, because this is the year of the Hebrew calendar and our Gregorian calendar side by side. And we're going to see what connections they make or what connections they have. So Genesis 48, we'll take it from verse 1. And after these events, it came to be that it was said to Joseph, "See, your father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob was told, "See, your son Joseph is coming to you." And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said, underline, Jacob said. He said, very important. That's Amar there. And he said something. I mean, no, you got to say something. You can't say, "I got faith," and not say something. Right. It's not good enough for the song to say it for you. Right. You got to say it for yourself. So I want you to write down every time I come to this statement. I'll tell you when to underline it if you're writing your Bible. If not, make a note. Jacob said to yourself, "El Shaddai appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, 'See, I'm making you fruitful. It shall increase you and make of you an assembly of people and give this land to your seed after you as an everlasting possession.'" What is Jacob saying to yourself? He's telling yourself what somebody said to him. And who's that somebody that said to him? He said, "El Shaddai. El Shaddai told me." If you want to know where I'm getting this from, I'm getting it from El Shaddai. Right. You know what I'm saying today? I'm getting it from El Shaddai. Hallelujah. I didn't get it from Justin Morris. I got it from El Shaddai. Hallelujah. That's what he said. Amen. Come on. "And now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Mitzrayim before I came to you in Mitzrayim, are mine. As Reuben and Shimon, they are mine." Notice who's saying all this stuff. Yaakov is making these statements. He's saying they are mine. Notice what his statements. Now these are profound words, because he's making declaration. He's connecting something that had not been connected before. And unless we make the connection, it never manifests itself. We got to figure out how we connect heaven to earth. How do we make that connection? What's wrong in heaven? What's short in heaven? What's lacking in heaven? What about the earth? So how do we make that heavenly connection to impact the earth? It's up to us. The Bible says, "Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in the heavens." And once heaven gets a hold to it, it changes how earth looks. But how does heaven get a hold to it if we don't make proclamation? It doesn't. He said, "But God knows everything." He absolutely does. He knows that we walk in doubt. He knows that we walk in fear rather than faith. He knows that. He knows everything. Amen. So you're not going to trick God to make other people believe you got enough faith to bring to fruition whatever you believe in God for. Your actions are going to tell people. Where you take your step is going to tell people. How you fix your mouth is going to tell people. And so this is important to God, that he will take the time to show us in an extraordinary way how he establishes what's happening today. "Your offspring whom you shall bring forth after them are yours." Now he's speaking of those that come after Ephraim and Manasseh. This is what he's saying. "They're yours. And let them be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance." Let me see that. "And I, when I came to you from Padan, Rahel died beside me in the land of Canaan on the way, when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath. And I buried her there on the way to Ephrath," that is Bethlehem. And Israel saw Joseph's sons and said, "Who are these?" And Joseph said to his father, "They are my sons whom Elohim has given me in this place." Now either he's hard of hearing or he didn't listen to what Yaakov just said. Uh-huh. Whose sons are they? Who claimed them just now? I just read it to you. See, they're like, "They're my sons." Yeah. "They're mine." But then he says, "Who are these?" Mm-hmm. And almost, you know, that question wasn't because Israel didn't know. That question was for yourself. He didn't know yet. He hadn't got a hold to it yet. That question was because Israel had a problem about what he just spoke. He said, "These two boys are like mine. They're my kids." Then he says, "Who are these?" That question's for yourself. And sometimes the question comes back to us about, you know, what's going to be our statement? We hear it. We're looking at it. We're all involved in it. But when it comes down to it, we don't know. If you don't know, is a doubt. Well, I don't know how. That's a doubt. Unless you didn't hear the singing. Unless you didn't get the prophetic utterance of the script, the songs that went forth. Just got finished telling us who does it all. Just got finished telling. Now, when the music's being played and the voices are being sung, we join right in. But when we settle down and sit, and the word of God is delivered to us, all of a sudden now you don't have, there's no music. There's no other voices. It's just you thinking about what I'm saying. And now you're figuring out, I didn't realize I had that much doubt and fear. "Who are these?" "Yourself, they're mine." "I just got finished telling you they're mine." Are we going to have a wrestling match here? That remember, the Bible doesn't just use words just to fill pages. There's a reason that interaction happened. It wasn't that Israel didn't know. He just got finished declaring what he knew. But Yosef is still holding on to them boys. Let God do what God wants to do and quit holding on to what you know to be true. He knew it to be true. They are his, but his father just got finished telling them prophetically who they are. Are y'all getting this? "Who are these?" And Yosef said to his father, "They are my sons, whom Elohim had given me in this place." And he said, "Please bring them to me and let me bless them." Watch this. And the eyes of Israel were dim with age, and he was unable to see. And he drew them near them and kissed them and embraced them. Your posture has to be correct. You gotta, first of all, you gotta get close to what the vision is. You gotta embrace the vision and kiss the vision, or they're not in the close proximity that it takes in order for the miracle to actually flow through. It can't be out there somewhere in the distance. Maybe some certain year in the sweet by and by it'll be done. That don't seem like you're embracing. Don't seem like you're hugging and kissing. And he says, let me read it again, because sometimes we miss these little things. It says, and he drew them near him. What is Goshen all about? Drawing near. So every time you see a draw near statement in the scripture, it ought to start flashing. Goshen. He drew them near. Your proximity matters in your involvement. You know, if you want to sit way in the back and not get close proximity to the vision that God has for your life, when it doesn't come to fruition, don't get mad at God. You got to be more hands-on when it comes to what God wants to do. And this is what, why does he want to join this? Because he got to get his hands on them. Why is that? Because he's about to do what? Bless them. Look at that. He's about to bless them. So he drew them near to him, and he kissed them and embraced them. It can't be something that you're talking about way in the distant future. It has to be something that you grab hold to with everything that's in you right now. And Israel said to Yosef, "I had not thought to see your face, but see, Elohim has also shown me your seed. So Yosef brought them from between his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Yosef took them both, Ephraim with his right hand, toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand, toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. So, I don't know if you noticed, but the one who's having the issue at this particular stage in 48 is not Israel. It's yourself. He's having some doubts about what his father just got finished saying. The declaration had already been given. But he's still having this, because in his mind, he's got to go through the long process of how this is going to pan out. But that's not what the prophecy said. That's not what the blessing that came from Yaakov said. So you can be told what God wants and still not hear it. You know, let me just do this real quick. Since the Lord, there's no note here. He just reminded me. Go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 through 31. Let's go to 28. I want to do from verse 1, but sometimes I don't get to do what I want all the time. Did you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting Elohim, Yehovah, the creator of the end of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Sometimes we got to be reminded of this. He gives power to the faint, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. There is no excuse once you read this of where your faith level is going to be or can be. Even you shall faint and be weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait on Yehovah renew their strength. They shall raise up the wings like eagles. Everybody say eagles. And run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. Now listen, you're either an eagle or a chicken. And one thing eagles never do, they don't ask chickens how to fly. You know, if you're going to talk about flight and soaring, you don't seek advice from a chicken. If you're going to talk about soaring and heights and flight, you talk to an eagle. Because they're designed to soar high. They're designed to overcome. They're designed to get above the circumstances. You know, when you're trying to get through doubt, you don't go and talk to a chicken on how you get through doubt. They know nothing about it. Hey, I was just wondering if you got a little minute, Mr. Chicken. How do you fly? You know, we project ourselves like an eagle, but we talk like chickens. Now, I didn't put that down in my notes. I said, God, I ain't even putting it. If you want to say, you remind me. I got so much already to say, you're going to have to remind me. And so he must have wanted to say. Because he reminded me. So that was my side. Maybe that was my sidebar for the day. You don't consort with chickens when you're an eagle. Eagles deal with eagles. And I'm not going to be a chicken when it comes to delivering the word of God. The word of God has to go forth in power and strength. It has to soar. It has to be mighty. It has to have strength and authority. It has to not up with wings as eagles when he goes forth. If you want a chicken wing, you're going to have to go somewhere else. I heard somebody say Popeyes. Don't be hating on Popeyes now. Every now and then. Amen. But how many restaurants you seen cook eagles? Chickens get plucked and cooked. Don't consort with chickens when you have an eagle question. You're eagles. Do you understand? You're eagles. We got to act like eagles. Now, there's something that we have to understand about God's word and what he does and how he does it. And so he unfolds these principles for us to learn and to understand and embrace what he said. Now, watch this. And the eyes of Israel were dim with age, and he was unable to see. And he drew them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said, write that down, Israel said to yourself, I had not thought to see your face, but see Elohim has also shown me your seed. So yourself brought them from between his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Yosef took both Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, and who is the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, consciously directing his hands, for Manasseh was the firstborn. Now what he did in essence, his father, picture his father sitting here, and the two boys are brought just like this. So, in essence, Israel had to cross his hands to touch the right kid. Because what is he doing? He's talking about something. He's proclaiming something that's not manifested yet. But he's saying, I'm going to mark the spot. I'm going to guarantee the covenant. I'm going to make the connection. So he does the what? The Tau. What's the first letter that we're dealing with in 5786? Tav. Tav. Right. There's a reason for that. The reason that Tav's up there's a reason he makes the Tav, to make, because he's got to connect. He's got to connect the heavenly with the natural, but to the natural it makes no sense. Right. It made no sense to yourself. Yourself's the issue here. He's struggling with going outside the box. How many know God will go outside the box? He'll get out the norm for you. And he'll make you talk about, you know, folks stay poor because they don't know how to understand that they, you know, you can speak rich. You understand that? When you understand who's your father, when you understand you have an inheritance. If not, all you're doing is looking at what you know, not what he does or what he knows, his connections. How many know that God's connected to us here today? But how many know he's connected to a lot of people all over the world right now? He's connected. He's connected to their heart. They're linked in together. They love him. He loves them. And he will move and stir people's heart just like that. Well, I'm speaking. Well, I'm releasing I'm releasing this into the atmosphere. You can say one day, Pastor said. I have to release it because it's not faith until it's spoken. It can't just be a thought. If it stays in your thought process, it won't be long. Doubt will overwhelm it. You keep thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. You think, if you move immediately when you feel the wound, you move immediately. You know, it happens all the time in church. You sing a song, all of a sudden, you have a mood that says, he says, step out and just raise your feet up and do like that. And you start thinking about it. Say, nah, you know, people are going to think I'm getting a little emotional about all this, and I'm just, and before you know it, yeah, you back, talked yourself right out of it. That's right. Happens like that all, every service. You get a ruin, you got to immediately move. Amen. That's a small scale on how you move in faith. Well, can you immediately move when it's bigger than you? When it's staring you in the face and it's in the enemy screaming, You are pathetic. It'll never happen. Never. Can you move? Can you move in adversity? Can you step out in faith and trust God? You have to. Because we're dealing with 5786, which is the year of the pay. The year of the pay is what you say. The year of the pay is 80 to 89 is the year of the pay in Hebrew calendar. 80 to 89 is the decade of the pay. And so do you want to miss your opportunity to speak? Your opportunity to say, to declare, to communicate, to connect heaven with earth. What if Yeshua would have took that position and never said? The question is, did Yeshua teach this, what I'm teaching? Most people would say, well, I don't know. Because you'd be shocked how many people in ministry or proclaim to be a believer and never ever studied all the things that Yeshua taught. It's pretty amazing to me. If I'm going to be one who follows him, I want to see what he said. I want to see what he's talking about. And sometimes you're shocked when you ask people that question and they say, well, no, I don't think anybody did. Well, yeah. There's people that's done. There's people who have, they're hungry for God. They want to know about these things. And they want to be sharp in these areas. Right. And so we see this. So again, we had Yaakov saying, now Israel saying. And so 48 is pretty much a chapter of what Israel says. The pay is in operation, and it's a secure pay. We wonder why did Israel say, a reminder of this story about along the way, Rahel dies in Ephrath. Because Ephrath has a pay in it. Why did he switch from Manasseh to Ephraim? Because Ephraim has a pay in it. That's in your Bible in chapter 48. There's nothing random about how God works. He makes these connections. And so it looks random to us because we wouldn't pattern it this way. But how many of his ways are not our ways? His thoughts are not our thoughts. God operates on a whole different level than we do. And sometimes we try to reason the scripture in our level, and it's so beyond our level, you have to ask for help. You have to ask for God's understanding to come and open up your understanding or you will never get it. And so we wrestle, personally we wrestle, because I'm saying, well, God, I want to talk about this 50, and this is probably a 5 or 6 part series, 5786, 2026, all by itself, which I hadn't done any of it yet. I still got to get you there through the text that we've been in. And I'm showing the connection and how that is connected to chapter 48. Not because we try to force it. It's just there all over the pages. Right. He's using this terminology for this pay connection. The pay represents the mouth. Right. What you say. Now, is this chapter 48 about somebody saying something? Right. Declaring something? Is there not a transfer of covenant to something completely different? It went from individual covenant, I talked about this a few Shabbats ago, to corporate covenant. Now it's the whole nation. Not only the nation of Israel. That's what we miss sometimes. Because through Ephraim, all the nations are going to be affected. Why is that? Because that was given to Abraham. He said, you're going to be a father of all nations will come to you. Not some. All nations. I mean, every ethnic group has an opportunity under this covenant agreement to come and to walk out this relationship through what Yeshua paid for at Calvary. Every nation, every ethnic group. Nobody excluded from this. And so if you're wondering about that five, it kind of sits there by itself. How many men he took before Pharaoh? They were more than five. Why only took five? Again, it's a stamp. God said, because what we're about to step into, from the time he takes the five men, we're entering into grace. Right. Now you're going to show God's grace, because he don't have to do any of this. He didn't have to do any of this. He could have started with another group of people, raised up whoever he wanted to, but he's using people who avail themselves to him. who admit they're wrong when they're wrong, who repent when they've made a mistake, and say, God, I'm sorry. I need you to come in and fix what's broken inside of me. That's all he's asking to do. When you do that, he gives grace. He gives grace. And so the 5,000 rather, would represent grace. The 7 would be perfection. And I'll give you exactly what that means in a gematria and how you can actually say that at some point. Probably not today. But it may be. Maybe. You never know. So Israel stretched out his hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, consciously directing his hands, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Yosef and said, who's saying again? Israel. He said, the Elohim before whom my father Abraham, Isaac, walked, the Elohim who has fed me all my life long to this day. Notice his words. The messenger who had redeemed me from all evil. Now this messenger is a type or shadow of Mashiach. It's the shepherd. Bless the youth. What did Isaiah 40 talk about when it comes to youth? I just read it to you. Isaiah 40 talks about the youth. And so this connection again is dealing, this chapter 48 is dealing with youth. Two young boys. Sometimes we think, well, I'm not old enough to get our full understanding. Well, how old do you have to be? He's connecting this for us so we can see exactly how he lays out this promise that will take place. It has taken place because we're living after the fact. The messenger has redeemed me from evil. Bless the youth and let my name be called upon them in the name of my father Abraham and Isaac, and let them increase to a multitude in the midst of the earth. Where the increase going to happen? If I said in the midst of heaven, amen. No, don't take a lot of faith, because what happens is heaven. What's wrong with heaven? You understand? What's bad in heaven? See, we all answered that earlier. You thought that was a random question. But if I'd have put heaven there, no problem but earth. Earth has got all the issues. Earth has got all the doubts and the failures and the shortcomings. But where is this going to happen at? What is he saying? This is him speaking still. Yaakov is speaking. What is he saying going to happen? Where is going to happen? In the earth. So listen, you don't need miracles when you get to heaven. You don't need miracles when Mashiach steps across and sits on the throne of David in the land. You don't need miracles. You need miracles now. You need breakthrough now. You understand? When the healer himself, the great physician, is standing next to you, you don't need healing. He is the healer. You can't be in proximity to him and need a healing, because he is the healer. He's the great physician, but you need it now. Because we're in the earth. We're up against it. As much faith as you can operate in this building today is as much adversary attack that you'll have against you on the outside. What you want, the enemy don't. He doesn't want it. What you're believing for, he's not believing for. There's no agreement between Belial and the Most High. There's no agreement. He tells us that. He said, what agreement is there? And it's a rhetorical question. There is no agreement. He said, there's no agreement with the believer and the unbeliever. No agreement. So he's telling us these things, but we don't know where they make the connection. We read them. We don't even know where the application is. We don't know how to apply them to anything. So notice what he says here. He blessed Yosef and said, the Elohim before whom my father Abraham, Isaac walked, the Elohim who has fed me all my life long to this day, the messenger has redeemed me from all evil. Bless the youth and let my name be called upon them in the name of my father Abraham and Isaac, and let them increase to a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Yosef saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it was evil in his eyes. Who's the problem? problem right now. Yosef is operating. Now, this guy's well taught. He's well trained. There nobody was hearing from God more than he was hearing out of all of them. Line them all up. Nobody was hearing from God more than yourself. But right now, he's having an issue. When he's got to believe God for this supernatural miracle to take place, with his two boys, you know, he brought them there. They're already handicapped in yourself's mind. They weren't born in the land. They were born here. And, you know, we got problems already, but that's not what Yaakov was seeing. That's not what Israel was seeing. And it's sure not what God was seeing, because God was giving him the words to speak. But yourself was seeing that. What are you seeing today? Are you going to be like yourself? So nobody wants to put no, you don't want to cast no shadow on yourself, because he's the man up to this point. He's the man. I mean, if it wouldn't be for yourself, the whole clan would have died. But right now, you've got a problem. Doubt can slip in. Amen. It can wrap itself around you. It can take you down. It can drag you under. Mm-hmm. It's trying to drown your belief in God, what God said, especially in the last days. Right. It's trying to drown you out, so your faith and your stand was never what it was supposed to be. That's what the enemy wants. But let me tell you, you might doubt, but God always has an answer if you listen to him. If you listen to him, how many want to cut that doubt out today?
Hallelujah.
Because, you know, Sister Linda sang two songs back to back. That's prophetically uttered. None of that's for you unless you get this word. None of it. You can sing it until we can't sing it. So the voice is gone. It never takes effect to you until it's laid on the foundation. And I'm showing you where that foundation is at right now. Sometimes we read through this, you know, that's why people say, well, why are you reading this so much? I'll read it over and over. I read 48 a couple times this week. Just read through it again. I don't really get any, you know, anything spectacular. I always get something, but I'm looking for spectacular. And then all of a sudden, I'm reading through it my third time, and man, the spectacular came. I'm like, what is this? What is this? 50? What is this? And I started making all these connections, and I was like, wow, God, you're so amazing. Now watch this. Yosef has got this issue. And it was evil in his eyes. And he took hold of his father's hand to remove it. This is what God will do. It'll produce audacity to speak against the truth. I know sometimes, you know, we're looking for like a single word to help us through this. But when I look back at this, I was like, cause when I came across my first time through 48, let me see if I can explain this. This cycle, my first time through 48, I've read 48 over, I mean, it's been nearly 40 years. The only time I read 48, I don't know. I have no idea. But this cycle going through it, I read through it and I was like, that bothers me. This Yosef says it's evil in his eyes. That's bothering me, God. I don't even know what that means. I have no idea what that means. It's bothering me because this is the poster child of everything you write about Genesis since we hit 35. I mean, really speaking, no, it's just positive. On top of positive, he's the man. But now, when God gets outside your comfort zone and tells you what he's going to do and how he's going to do it, he just needs somebody, because listen, it don't manifest here unless somebody believes it.
Right.
Now, he already did it in heaven. It's already done. What authority are we going to walk on to have it manifest itself here? How do I know it's been done? Because he wouldn't cast division to me if he hadn't done it already. If God starts with doubt and sows doubt, it's going to eventually, I'm going to sow doubt. So who wants to take the position that God sows doubt? And if he can't sow doubt, and he's talking about victory in the life of these two boys through Yaakov and Israel here, then what's the problem with yourself? Seemed like to me he'd have been the happiest man in the world. That his sons could take the position to be like Reuben and Shimon. But that's not what's happening. So we have to ask ourselves, what's happening? What's happening? Now, I know you've read it and you come across it and you go, man, that don't make sense. Why is it evil? Understand these words are not random, right? Evil in his eyes. Do you get that? Evil in his eyes. This is not some small word. This is casting some serious doubt, serious fear. Don't build me up to let me down. This is what most people suffer from. Don't build my hopes up just to let me down. They do that with everything when it comes to healing. Well, I don't want to say I'm healed yet because I don't want to get my hopes up. But what are you trying to get up? What are you shooting for here? Do you want healing or not? Do you want the miracle that you believe in God for or not? You understand? I don't want to get my hopes up. Well, faith, that's what faith does. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And if you don't want to get your hopes up, then you don't know how to operate in faith. You're supposed to get your hopes up when you're dealing with faith. You're supposed to believe God. But we always have that, but, kind of comes in. It's evil in your eyes. Don't be like yourself here. Now we got to have this corrected, right? He took hold of his father's head and removed it from the head of Ephraim and to the head of Manasseh. And Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. And this is always going to happen. You're going to have somebody that says, well, I don't think we're able to do it. Who's going to stand and say, no, it's correct. Trust me, it's correct. It's what God wants. Who's going to do that? Because Joseph's making his case. But watch the reply. But his father refused. Anybody going to refuse here? Who's going to refuse doubt and fear? If you don't refuse doubt and fear, it'll rest, it'll reside in you. It'll be a part of your vocabulary. We'll get up and first thing we do, we say something doubtful and fearful rather than praiseworthy and giving honor and glory to the Most High. We get up every morning, we start our day off in fear and doubt, unbelief. But his father refused. Somebody got to stand up and say no. He refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He repeated, I know, I know. He also becomes a people, and he also is great. And yet, what the song talked about, that yet? And yet, you'll be greater. His brother will be greater. And yet, his younger brother is greater than he, and his seed is to become the completeness of the nations. Is anybody interested in what completeness of the nations mean? How big this is, is you won't get the rest of the prophetic word over our church. Want all you want, dream all you want, I'll build it. What's the purpose? The completeness of the nations. He said, I will move wagon tongues, unsupported personality, and supply you with unlimited laborers for the harvest fields of your souls. That's the completeness of the nations. Now, we got to have that. If not, what are we doing here? We can't be, listen, if I'm here just for me, I pretty much, you know, I've learned these things. And if you're just here to get more information, what are we really here for? Are we not here for the lost? Are we not here for the hurting? Are we not here for those who are in trouble? Are we not here for them? Are we not trying to bring good fruit to those who have not come to the knowledge of the truth yet? Are we not here for them? We have to see that picture, the completeness of the nations. And so, Joseph somehow lost sight of the big picture. And his father had to reel him back in and say, son, I know what's going on. I know you've been here and I know you the man. You ride second chariot. But I'm your father. Don't forget it. The covenant comes directly through me. And I'm about to give it to whom Jehovah said to give it to. You don't have to like it, but that's what I'm going to do. Can you imagine yourself? This is Dad. No, Dad. How many times we let people try to move our hand off of the promise? We let people try to redirect our approach to God, our vision with God. We let people do that because they say things, maybe negative things. Listen, if I don't listen to negative things to remove my hand off of what God had put my hand on, I'd have been gone a long time ago. I'm doing what God told me to do. Saying what God told me to say this morning, even though I had no idea that he would line up songs that would go exactly with what I'm talking about today, so it would match. Because sometimes I'm asking him, Lord, if you'll just show me. Because I don't want to come up here and waste your time. I don't want to waste God's time. I don't want to waste my time. I'm here to give you what the word of God is saying for the hour we're living in. And we're in 2026, last I looked. And this connection to 5786 is important because in there we have the six is the what? What's the six? Now our church is about to get in trouble. Six is the Vav. How do you remember the Vav? It's the nail. It's the nail. It's what you take something and you drive the nail home. The Vav. Six is the Vav. It's also the number of who? Man. That's why Yeshua, our Messiah, is always recognized in the new writing as the Son of Man. And it also, who was created on the sixth day? Man. Six-day creation, man. And how did that creation happen? And God said. And God said. In Genesis 1:3, first mention. In Genesis 1:3, first mention of the word Amar is the Most High says, and God said. And what happened after he said? It came into being. So are you able to have what you say? See, it don't take long. It comes rushing in. It's out to destroy your belief system. It don't take long. Especially if it's bigger than you. You know, these songs talk about impossible and all these things. And they talk about he makes a way. But for some reason, it ain't happening for me. We suffer in that 18-inch space right here between your brain and your heart. And the Bible says from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So until you get this in your heart, it's going to be difficult. And you can't get anything in your heart without your mouth saying it. Whatever's in your heart, the mouth's going to say. So when you start talking, we already figured out where your faith level is. The moment you start talking, well, it just don't seem like it's going to be possible. There you go. We ought to try to find something a wee bit smaller that way it's possible. Is there anything too hard for him? See, when we use those verses, amen, amen. But then when you put to the test of those amen verses, who's being put to the test here? Yourself. I know we don't want to cast any shadow on yourself, but this is what the text is doing. It's evil in his eyes. The way he sees it, what his father is doing is just, it's just too much. I can't handle it. What God is asking is just too much. Why don't we just calm ourselves down and dream smaller? Is that what we're here to do? And yourself said to his father, not so my father, this one is the firstborn, put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know my son, I know. He also becomes a people, and he also is great, and yet his younger brother is greater, and he is that he and his seed is to become the completeness of the nations. And he blessed them on that day, saying, in you Israel shall be blessed, saying, and if he make you as Ephraim and Manasseh, thus he put Ephraim before Manasseh. He made a declaration. This declaration is spoken annually, especially in the Jewish nation, about blessing. May the blessing be on you like Ephraim and Manasseh. Now both of them were blessed, but one was blessed above the other, and that's what God decided. Is it okay for God to bless some of you above the other? Amen. Is it okay? And Israel said to Yosef, Israel did what? Israel did what? Israel said to Yosef, see, I am dying, but Elohim shall be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. And I have given you a portion above your brothers, which I took from the hand of the Amorites with my sword and with my bow. So now that we looked at that, now we see it's 48 connection on how faith has to operate in the text. I want to look at this 20, 26, and this 57, 86 overlapping each other. And what's the connection? Prophetically, it's tied to the key letter like pay in a prophetic sense, because it's the decade of the pay from 5780 to 5789 is 10 years, and it's the 10 years of the pay. So you're finding out about it. We're on 6 years in, and I'm finding out about it. Thank God. He always shows up and don't leave us out. Amen? Thank God he don't leave me out, because it's critical right now. Now listen, he don't have to tell you this if you don't have nothing that warrants this. If your dreams are rebuilding, you already got enough faith for that. He ain't going to tell you nothing. But if your dream is big, it's beyond you, he's going to have to invite you in to the pay decade and say, hey, let me show you something. Let me show you, let me show you, let me show you how I'm about to release this faith in you that'll break chains and remove mountains. We talked about the mountains. We talked about all these things in the singing. And it's, as long as you're singing it, it don't take a lot of faith. How many want to sing it with faith? Amen. How many want to sing it with meaning? Gets down inside of you. It was getting inside of me, because I knew what I was, where I was, and I was like, it meant so much more to me this morning, because I knew what it was doing. It was letting me know right there. That's why I tell you there. Don't ask me why. Just do it. Amen. You don't have to ask why. If I'm leading you and I'm showing you the direction, and I ain't misled you all these years, why would I start misleading you? So the governing letters for 5786, you can just look up there, the governing letters, you see it? Governing letters break down into the Tav, a completion. The Sheen is the fire. The Pay is the mouth. And the Vav is the connector. All of these have to happen simultaneous in order for us to understand the year in the Hebrew calendar and what we're standing for. And how it makes a connection to 2026, we'll show that it goes, this thing goes deeper. Out of some teaching, as the mouth letter value is 80. Marking the decade, symbolized words, spoken words, breath, creation by declaration. In Genesis 1, Elohim said, that was that connection. So what did I just show you in 48? That the entirety of 48 is really about what Yaakov says and Israel says. If you look at it overall, he has to say things that's out off the chain. It's out. It's completely out of the norm. So much so, it bothered yourself. This is the man. I mean, nobody is more in tune with God than yourself, but it's bothering him. Because that's how big this thing is. There's a transfer from two boys that were naturally born through Yaakov, adopting two boys that were in their youth, and putting the weight of the world on those boys. That's what God is doing for us. You and I, we don't belong. We've been adopted. Mashiach came along because he paid the price. We got adopted into the family of the Most High. Every one of us. And what God's asking for us to do is bigger than us. It's way bigger than us. It almost seems like God, you know, how in the world, when God was looking overall, you know, he's looking overall, and then he spots a little church there in this. And he says, through that, I'm going to do this.
Amen.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to impact that sphere of reach that they have. I'm going to impact them, and that's how I'm going to do it. Now, if he don't tell us how he's going to do it, how do we know to get in position? How do we know to even move? How do you take your step, the next step? You don't know how. Same thing with yourself. He's being told for the first time how God's going to take his boys born to him in Mitzrayim. Let's not forget that. They're not coming without being learned, having learned a lot of stuff they got to unlearn. To get in the position that they're being put in, they got to unlearn a lot of stuff that they learned. And let me tell you, you're going to have to unlearn a lot of things that you've learned over the years, and you got to embrace what God is showing you now.
Amen.
And so we see that happening. And so God is going to take this and make a definite difference in their life. Elohim said, in guarded speech during trials like different months, Tammuz is a month that was given from Babylon, and Vav highlights as the letter in other means, the hook of the nail representing divine connection between heaven and earth, covenant linked to Yehovah's Gematria, which is 26, and alignment. And so, why is 5786 and 2026 so unique? Because God aligned them. He aligned them. And he makes the connection by the Vav. Now, one of the things that we have to understand, that when you're asking God to do something, he starts to do it. You got to go to your tent. You got to pull a stake up, lengthen the cord, step back a little bit, and then drive it back down. And everybody should know what that means. After Sukkot, we pulled up a lot of tent pegs. I mean, we had tent pegs laying everywhere during Sukkot. But you got to pull the stake. You got to put, the stake is a secure thing. So what happens when you pull the stake? You get, now you're not as secure as you was. And so what happens? What's creeping in? Doubt comes and fear, because you don't know what's going to happen. The wind, what if the wind starts blowing? I don't want to pull the stake. And so we got all these what ifs. But you can't grow unless you pull the stake, lengthen the cord, and step back a little bit. You can't have growth unless you're expecting growth, and you're not expecting growth if you're not lengthening the cords. Does that make sense to everybody? So the prophetic application, the pain focus view, warns of words, a power, life and death, and the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. Life and death is where? In the power of the tongue. So where is your tongue at? Is it in your ear? No. Is it in your hand? Is it under your arm? Is it in your shoe? Where's your tongue at? It's in your mouth. So the tongue is associated with the mouth at a pay. And so we have to understand the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. What you say matters. What you say about you matters. What you say about others matter. Especially in this year, because we're in the year of the pay-vav connection. So negative words grab hold, and positive words grab hold. Especially in this decade of the pay-vav connection. I want to tell you that. Maybe you say, well, we find it out late. It's better to find out than never find out. Now we got something to find out about. Now we got a dream big enough to find out about. God don't need to show off if he ain't got nothing to show off for. You want him to show out, get your dream better, bigger. Quit asking chickens how to fly like an eagle. They don't fly. You're an eagle. Look at your neighbor and say, you're an eagle. Quit talking to chickens. Proverbs 18:21. What does it say? Proverbs 18:21. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. It's telling us that. So we don't have to guess, well, how powerful is the mouth? Well, it's powerful.
That's right.
It's very powerful. He just told us. So we're not guessing. We know that blessing and cursing come by what we say. Spirit and power of speech at Shavuot. At Shavuot, what is the spirit and power? Speech. What happened when the day of Pentecost was fully come? All of a sudden, there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the place where they were. It was like cloven tongues of fire that sat on each of them, and they all began to do what? Speak. They began to speak. You're getting this. They begin to speak. And so we have to speak. We have to say these things. Now, I'm going to shorten this up because I'm going to do the rest during Midrash a little bit because this thing goes real deep. And I also put a message together for tomorrow.
Come on.
I put a message together for tomorrow because we're going to go visit the property.
Amen.
And we're going to declare some things.
Amen.
Are you here? We're going to declare some things. Now that you know how important it is to make these matters a spoken word and believe without fear and doubt, it doesn't matter what's happening on the outside. It matters what God said. Amen?
Amen.
Now watch this. It says, the Vav prophecies predict healing, divisions, relational battles, and Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh stamps events like revival amid shaking. Both tie to 2026's 26, equaling Elohim's name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, urging integrity and bold proclamation. That's the prophetic implication. The biblical ties, scripture patterns amplify this. Elohim's mouth creates, in Psalms 33, verse 6, we know that it's from the mouth that creation happens. He said, and so whatever Elohim speaks happens. Passover starts with the pay. A valve hooks the tabernacle in Exodus 27. If you read Exodus 27, it's talking about the curtains and the hooks. That's the valve. Users like you study Hebraic typology, e.g. Hayah 1961, where we had that before? Who was here for our Family and Friends Day? The focus word was that word. As become by what? You become something by what? Declaration. What is Yaakov declaring? These two will be like my sons. He's declaring something. You can't become something without declaring something. You can't have something without speaking it forth first. You have it because you say it. So at some point, we're going to have to peel off of this. You have to, so 1961 by become, by declaration, aligned with the covenant word theme, which specific Hebrew letter, pay or vav, are you referring to for 2026? And so we see that And it's 2026, again, it's connection to the that's enough of that. Y'all not interested in that anyway. Are you? Y'all don't want to see my notes. So I said all what I said. I got to stop. I have to stop. I just scratched the surface to show you where it's going to go and how it's going to be. But none of this matters if our master don't speak this language. Right? If our master, the one who's our teacher, our rabbi, if he's not using the same language that I'm giving to you today, then none of it matters. So I want to show you something, how Yeshua constantly ties the mouth pay and connection to faith vav together by teaching that spoken word reveals the heart, carries authority, connects belief to visible results. Very important statement. I'll read it again. Yeshua constantly ties the mouth to pay, connects the vav to faith, together by teaching that spoken words reveal the heart, carry authority, and connects belief to visible results. How many want results?
Amen.
Visible results. We want to have a dream. We just want to think about how it could be. We need it to come into fruition.
Right.
It's to manifest itself. Words reveal the heart or the pay. Look at Matthew. We'll see what our master said about this theme. Matthew chapter 12. Now, Brother Scott talked about this a little bit last night. He mentioned something about good fruit and bad fruit, or wicked fruit. So look at verse 33 of Matthew 12. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree rotten and its fruit rotten. Let me see that. For a tree is known by its what? Its fruit. Now notice something, the word in here says, you make something good or you make something rotten. How do you do that? He's going to tell us. Goes on to verse 34. Brood of adders, how are you able to speak what is good? You doing what? How you doing it? How you make good tree good? How do you make a rotten tree rotten? You understand? He's telling us. Who's teaching here? Who's teaching this? The master. He said, brood of adders, how are you able to speak what is good being wicked? For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. How does the mouth speak? From the overflow. So do we have to get our heart right in this? So my job is to settle these psalms in your heart, not just in your head, in your mouth. You know, you can sing along, and that's what people do. They sing along. They sing along with everybody that's singing. If you quit singing and see how people that sing along sing.
Come on.
They ain't singing no more because they sing alongs. They're happy that you got it, but for some reason it ain't happening for them. They live in fear and doubt constantly. When they're by themselves, they have no song. But in congregation, they can sing along. You say, well, that's good. Well, it's good in a way, and it's bad in a way. Because we enable people to sing along. I'm not your enabler. I'm here to tell you the truth. You don't have to be a sing-along. You can have a song inside of you.
Amen.
You can have purpose inside of you. You can have vision and dream inside of you. You're an eagle. Quit talking to chickens. You're an eagle. I don't know how many times I got to tell you that. You're an eagle. Why would I consult with somebody who doesn't know how to fly? It makes no sense. And if you're going to grow in faith, talk to people with faith. They've been through some things, got through some things, and seen God come through and perform miracles for them. That's who you're talking to. Now watch as our master. He's the one teaching. A good man brings forth fruit. The good man that brings forth what is good from the good treasures of his heart, and the wicked man brings forth what is wicked from the wicked treasures of treasures. Let me see that. I say to you that every idle word, every what? Idle word men speak, they shall give an account of it in the day of judgment. Does it matter about this pay year that we're in? It matters. Trust me. You may say, well, my words ain't going to hurt nobody. Listen, how you speak here is one way, but how you speak at home is what I'm after.
That's right.
I don't need to hear your speech here. I need to hear what you're talking about when you buy your house, when you're alone, and you're being bombarded from the enemy, and you talk fear and doubt.
Yes. Right.
You know, you can talk to eagles here and talk to chickens at home. I say to you that every idle word men speak. Is our master talking about what I've been talking about all morning? Does he not teach this stuff? But when he teaches it, we don't know what he means because we don't know where to put it. We have nothing to set it on. Because nobody wants to get there and say, God, I'm begging you, show me, because we're not going to make it. Do you understand? We're not going to make it if we don't. We'll do all of this and not make it. He wants us to have faith in him and trust him. We say it. But when it comes, when he tries to increase our faith and puts us a hard dream, gives us something that you really got to go for, you got to sweat over, you got to believe God, we back up. Every idle word you speak, they shall give an account of it in the day of judgment. Now watch this next verse. For by your words,
right,
your words,
mm-hmm,
you shall be declared righteous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how powerful you understand that statement, but that's a lot of stuff being said there. By your words, you'll be declared righteous?
Mm-hmm.
I thought our righteousness was because of the blood of Yeshua that came and cleansed me of my unrighteousness. It is. But if you're not saying it, it ain't.
Right.
If you're not believing it, it ain't. It's all there. Everything you need for victory and overcoming is all there. But if you're not saying it and applying it to your life, it's not for you.
Right.
I'm just giving you what the master teaches. He teaches what I'm teaching. I'm teaching what he's teaching because I see that he's on this and he wants us to understand it. By your words you shall be declared right, and by your words you shall be declared unrighteous. Unrighteous. Is it unrighteous to be speaking fear and doubt all the time? That's an unrighteous behavior. You never find Yeshua speaking that way. Never. Won't happen. You know, there was a famous apostle by the name of Peter. He suffered from this. Peter suffered from this. But his life changed once the set-apart spirit came and got on him and his speech changed. Because what happens at Shavuot? What happens at Shavuot? Your speech changes, and what God will do is connect heaven and earth together for you, and you'll start speaking the heavenly language rather than the earthly language. See, we're familiar with the earthly language. Listen. Ephraim and Manasseh, they were familiar with Mishrite teaching and Mishrite learning. They were familiar with it. Their whole life, that's all they understood. But Yaakov says, I'm taking you out that life. You're going to be like my kids. And he declared something, and did it happen? Absolutely it happened. Their upbringing didn't have any kind of interference or hindrance on what God did for them. They went to Egyptian schools, learned Egyptian language, learned Egyptian culture. But when Yaakov spoke over them, they were Hebrewites, Hebrew Israelites, and they did what God had planned for them and purpose for them. Now we know prophetically, later on in life, they got themselves sidetracked in a lot of things. So did Judah. So did Benjamin. So did all the children of Israel. And God came through and ransomed them and saved the remnant. That's what he does. And so I wanted you to see this, how the master, by your word you shall be declared righteous, and by your word you shall be declared unrighteous. Now go to Matthew 15. I give you one spot the master taught. I proved something, but I want to really seal it for you to show you that he wasn't finished. Matthew 15. He's teaching and he's pretty upset. If I use this language, it'll offend you. He said, hypocrites. Yes, Yahweh rightly prophesied about you, saying, this people draw near to me with their mouth and respect me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's why it has to be the Vav connection, the Pei-Vav connection. You have to make that connection. It can't just be one-sided. Because he's saying, this is him teaching. And he says, yes, Yahweh prophesied correctly. The people draw near to me with their mouth and respect me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching as teaching the commands of men. Now we know in this particular teaching, he's dealing with the commands of men versus what God commanded. And calling the crowd near, he said to them, hear and understand. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles the man, but that which comes out the mouth that defiles the man. Then his taught ones came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees stumbled when they heard these words? They stumbled. I hope that no one stumbles today hearing these words. Don't stumble. He said, they stumbled. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be uprooted. Uprooted. How many understand what uprooted means? If you uproot the plant, you're not trying to preserve it. You're not trying to take care of it. You get rid of it. Uprooted. Leave them alone. They are blind leading the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both fall into a ditch. And Kepha answered and said to him, explain the parable to us. And Yeshua said, are you also still without understanding? Do you understand? He's a little perturbed in this message. I mean, he called him hypocrites and he said, do you not understand? Have you been listening to anything I said? Do you not understand that whatever enters into the mouth goes into the stomach and is cast out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. Do you see the context of this parable? It's not a food passage. People, you know, you start eating correctly, according to God's word, and people will use this as, he said, it's not what goes in the mouth that defiles a man, so you can eat whatever you want. They use that. They miss the entire point. They have no idea what they're talking about at all. Very unlearned and unskilled in the teaching of Scripture. And missing the entire point because they're trying to hang everything on one thing the master said. So they don't read down and let him explain, because you know what he's going to hear? Do you not understand what I've been saying all this time? I've been preaching for an hour and a half and you still don't understand? comes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and this defiles the man. It's not a food parable at all.
Hallelujah.
At all. He's explaining the heart and the pay connection. And if you don't get that right, in this heart, this vile pay connection that we are in right now, you're going to speak negative against yourself. And it'll manifest itself. But sometimes, he says, in order to move on, he said, I have to uproot the tree. It ain't going to produce good fruit. I'm going to uproot it and get rid of it. Don't get uprooted. Don't be a hindrance to your brother or your sister. If you can't find nothing to say, don't say nothing nice to say. Don't say nothing at all. Because we all got opinions. We all got what we think about something. Be careful what you say before you go against what God said. Because if you go against what God said because you have an opinion about something, you can get yourself in a tough spot with God. And so this is our master. This is our master saying these things. Now go to Mark 11. I'm finally about to stop. I never even got a card yet. Did I? I can't even see them cards right now. I can't even see them. I got to give you this one before I leave. Got to. This one you got to have. Matthew 11.
Mark
11. Sorry. Mark 11. What we're learning right now, what the master taught. Did he teach what I was teaching this morning? Have we proved it yet? One more spot. Mark 11. Verse 18. And the scribe and the chief priests heard it, and they were seeking how to destroy him, for they feared him, because all the crowd was astonished at his teaching. Now, if you want to know what he said or the interaction, you got to go up and read. I don't have time to read it. Because it said the scribe and the chief priests heard it, and they were seeking how to destroy him. Now, when the evening came, he went out of the city. And in the morning, passing by, they saw a fig tree dried up from the roots. Then Kepha remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. Who cursed the fig tree? Mashiach. How did he do it? With his mouth. He spoke a word. Why? He went to the tree and the tree had no fruit. So he cursed the fig tree. The next day, they go by and the fig tree dried up from the root. What did you pluck? What did you just got finished telling? You plucked the tree up by its roots. Again, this is a connection that our master's making, and it deals with speech. You don't want to be plucked up by the root because you can't see what God is showing you here. So he's telling us this is serious business. He's equating the same speech, talking as a tree that is plucked up by the roots or dried up by the roots. So one's plucked up, one is dried up. What's the result you get by being plucked up or dried up? It's dead. You get dead out of both of them. And Yeshua answered and said to them, have belief in Elohim. Have faith in Elohim. So he's telling us how to fix this problem that we all suffer from. For truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed. So what's the key thing about the mountain? You have to do what to it? Say. You have to say something. You have to say. Now, I didn't get into the Greek on this because there's two Greek words. One is ipo and the other one is lego when it talks about speech. Saying something and speak. You'll see that those two are interchangeably used throughout the text. But I wasn't going to get into that. It takes so much time to do that. You can do that on your own. For truly I say to you, he says something to you, whoever says. So what he says is important, what he says to us. Truly I say to you. So he's telling me something, and I need to pay attention to what he says. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says, who says he says, shall be done. He shall have whatever he says. Let me see that. So here's our master teaching the same language I was teaching this morning. Same stuff. He talks about this pay-vav connection. He's talking about it. Why? Because his father dealt with it. Through the 26 of the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh gematria of Yehovah, making this connection or linking it to the year 5786 of the Hebrew calendar, and what we're supposed to be doing right now through what Yaakov said in chapter 48 of Genesis. Somehow this thing all came together. You'd think, man, that's going to be a mess, guy. How is that going to all come together? But he knows how to do it. He's the master at it. And so we see that making these statements, believing them in your heart, go a long way. You have whatever you say. So I wanted to point these out to you. But there's one more. I'll leave it up to you to read it. Matthew 8. Matthew 8. Talks about a centurion said something. He said, only speak a word and my servant will be healed. What kind of faith this guy had? Because Yeshua said, I'll come to your house. Nobody's turning down that appointment. Nobody. Nobody's turning down that appointment. But the centurion says, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. See, the moment Yeshua says, hey, I'm coming to your house, we all start thinking about, oh, yeah, I mean, he's coming to my house. Let's send out a memo. Yeshua's coming to my house. If y'all want to come and get a little bit of Yeshua, come to my house. The centurion says, no, I'm not worthy of that. I'm not, my house is, I still got some issues in my house, but my faith is strong. I'm still not where I need to be, but my faith is where it needs to be. If you speak the word, my servant will be healed. So let me tell you, don't try to hang your hat on you're not there yet. I just got you there. I brought you all the way there holding your hand. By just four spots that our master, not me, the teacher, our master, our rabbi taught. So don't try to hang your hat. Well, you know, I got some things that still not. It's okay. I'm not interested in your mistakes you made. I don't know where your faith's at. It's your faith that's going to matter. Because I know you might be scruffing knees and skinning yourself up right now, but you're going to quit talking to chickens pretty soon. You're going to soar like an eagle. You're coming up and out. I know that's going to happen. You're coming up and out, and you're going to have victory in this because that's who you are. We're dealing with eagles, not chickens. And so I pray that this has ministered to your heart as much as this did me all week looking at this. I was like, well, this guy said, are you ready? I said, I guess I am. I hope I am. Because you just wonder how it's going to go because it's kind of off the beaten path a little bit, but then God shows you how he puts it right back in. And that's the thing that you have to trust God with. You have to trust him with it. And I'm sure that he's given us opportunity to take part in this. And I pray that this is ministered to your heart as it did mine. Amen. And I want to say to Sister Linda, she did her job. I pray I did mine this morning to show you that God knows what he's doing. He knows what's happening. And he ain't forgotten you at all. But you got to, don't offend him by talking to chickens. When you need to soar like an eagle. You're better than that. You're an heir. You're an heir. Do you understand that? You're an heir. We're joint heirs through Christ. There's some stuff that belongs to you. You have yet to take hold of what belongs to you. Take hold of it. It's yours. If God wanted to do this for another group of people, he'd have done it. He wants to do it for you. He wants you to see you can't walk faith all your life and not obtain things. You can. because he's faithful. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're so